blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 144, stanzas 1 through 6. O God, the God that saveth me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing thy righteousness in grateful, joyous strains. 1 through 6 of Psalter 144. Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first book of Samuel, in the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 24 through verse 46. 1 Samuel 14, verses 24 through 46. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Samuel 14, beginning with verse 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, Thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood. And he said, Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. And Saul said, Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light. and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest, Let us draw near hither unto God. And Saul asked counsel of God, Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, Do what seemeth good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, Give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, Cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then said Saul to Jonathan, Tell me what thou hast done. Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, Shall Jonathan die? Who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, Thou who dwellest above, we here upon this Thy footstool, our whole life known unto Thee, but also all our sin. We have read it together, that Thou art able to give a perfect lot. Lord, Thou art able to point us out, and then there is not one of us that can escape from Thine all-seeing eye. So it shall be upon that day of days for us personally and in that great judgment day when we shall appear before thy holy throne and when there shall not be a single sin in thought, in word, and deed, a sin of omission, a sin of commission, that is not known and pointed out by Thee. But Lord, how just then should our judgment be when Thou wouldest cast us forever away from Thy holy countenance. Oh, how necessary and that we also escape that punishment, that we be rescued by another, that a death may be applied to us that is not our own death, but a death of thine only begotten Son. Lord, wilt thou look on each and every one of us? We cannot do without thee. We cannot do without that salvation that thou hast decreed, that thou hast fulfilled in thy holy being. Oh, we cannot do without that wisdom. We cannot do without that power. We cannot do without that grace and that mercy in which thou dost stretch forth thine arm for the salvation of wretched and sinful creatures, even for the rebellious also. Lord, wilt thou then look upon each and every one of us, that we would not be left to go our own way, but oh, that thou mayest also have sworn thyself concerning us and our dear children, and that we may be included in that holy oath of thee. Lord, wilt thou look upon each and every one for the need of our soul that is so very, very great, and it is also so very, very urgent, because our life here below is a short one, and our death that is so certain, but our life that is so uncertain. And we know not that day that we must appear before thee. Then it can also be when we are still young, as has been witnessed in the week that is gone by many also amongst us. Lord, give thou an impression in our hearts. Teach us to flee for the sake of our life, that we might know that it is well between God and our soul, that thy dear Son may become so necessary and precious in our life, and that we also may be included in him. Lord, wilt thou look upon all of us also for the ways of this life, in which we each have a place and a task upon the earth. May thou give diligence and faithfulness in the task that we are placed in, but that we also may be given by thee to understand that there is one thing that is needful, that we may be given by grace to choose that part that shall never be taken away from us. Oh, give it unto the older ones. Give it unto the younger ones. Be with all that are afflicted and sick. Grant health and strength. Grant also a blessing upon the callings as they come to us day after day. For we have here no continuing city. Oh, that we might learn to seek one to come by those callings also in a providential way. Do look upon us as a nation, as a people. Lord, draw our hearts again to flee from the ways of sin and iniquity. Strengthen our rulers to rule according to thy holy word. And all those that make decisions for us, may thou give them an impression that they have also to stand before thee, to give an account of all that way in which they have ruled. Do look upon all those that fight in the battles. Lord, thou knowest where they are also this day and the dangers that attend them hour by hour. May thou protect them. Oh, give them also to look upon to thee, that they may put their trust in thee, and not in all the technology developed by man, or that they may find a refuge under the shadow of thy wings, and that a need for their soul or so may be born, when they may experience for themselves that thou art the living God. Oh, do instruct us then, young and old, our children, when they are in school day by day, strengthen the teachers. Oh, give that grace that they cannot do without, that they also may truly fear thy name, that it may be evident in the way that they carry themselves in this life, and that it may be evident in the way that the words they come forth from their own mouths, and that our children also may be jealous of the blessed portion of thy people. Help us then also as parents. Give us to turn from our evil, vain, and carnal ways. Oh, that thou may cause us to remember that which we have promised, and that we may seek help from above in all the fulfillment. Forgive all our many shortcomings. Wilt thou remember us also as a consistory? Help us in all the labors of our hands, from week to week and day to day in the midst of the congregation. Wilt thou give that also there may be a cry in the midst of the congregation on our behalf, and that thou would so bless us all together. Oh, that together we may seek the face of the Most High God. Oh, that together we may flee from the ways of sin, and that we may be honest with one another, to warn one another, to flee from that which will bring us to that everlasting destruction, and to turn unto thee. Lord, remember us then in this afternoon hour also. Help us once again in the body, in the mind, and also that thou may give freedom and liberty. Oh, give understanding for our minds. Give a blessing for our poor, never-dying souls. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure until thy house he should prepare. Lord, remember his devotion, restless in his courts he trod, till he found a habitation fit for Israel's mighty God, till he found a habitation fit for Israel's mighty God. We announce first that the last collection today is for the building fund. Also, that the youth group that is normally on the first Saturday of the month is not going to be held this Saturday, but next week, Saturday, the Lord willing, February 9th. Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. There was, congregation, a covenant between David and Jonathan. David swears unto his friend Jonathan concerning what? And thou shalt not only, while I yet live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. Congregation, grace brings a man so low. There was a time, young people, that David thought that he would be the king of Israel, that Jonathan thought he would be the king of Israel. Then there came a time that Jonathan believed that he would no longer be the king of Israel, but that instead David would take his place as that king of Israel. And what a blessed place that Jonathan received, that he may bow under this way of the Lord. Then it is not of man to bow so, because Saul could not bow as Jonathan did. But Saul was so angry with his own son because that he bowed under this. But Jonathan, he desires an oath from David. And that was for Jonathan so important. Why? Because of the actions of the kings of the nations that were all around Israel, that it was very typical that a new king would cut off the former king's family so that none could rise up against him and desire his throne. And thus Jonathan desires the oath of David that he would never do so unto himself and never do so unto his family. That oath that was a very special comfort unto David, unto Jonathan. And why was that such a special comfort to him? Because Jonathan knew that David feared the Lord. And thus Jonathan knew and that David would not take such an oath very lightly. But when he had sworn in that name of the Lord, and that David would not very easily transgress. And thus there is a proper oath. Last week we have considered the commandment of the Lord that we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain, that we are not to swear. Also we heard in a rash way, but that does not mean that we are not to swear at all, because sometimes the Lord does so himself and we are also required to do so. We hope to consider that in this afternoon with the Lord's help from Lord's Day 37. Lord's Day 37, questions 101 and 102. Question 101. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Answer, yes. Either when the magistrates demanded of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. For such an oath is founded on God's word and therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and New Testament. Question 102. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? Answer, no. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, and that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. So far, our Lord's Day. The proper swearing of an oath, first, when we may and must swear an oath. Second, by whom we may and must swear an oath. The proper swearing of an oath, first, when, second, by whom we may and must swear an oath. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Why is it, congregation, that our fathers are asking this question? That is, once again, because of the errors that were brought within the church, both then and also now. There are some that answer this question, no. And that we may never swear religiously by the name of God. That was the position of the Anabaptists. And that continues to be the position of those who have come from that Anabaptist movement, as the Mennonites and as the Amish. Also, the Essenes have that same doctrine. That is not something which they do not say is based also on the Word of God. And they point us to two places, especially first to James 5, verse 12. And we read there the following, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Second, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 5, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." These and such like texts, they say, command us never to swear. Congregation, we do not believe that that is the true interpretation of these texts. That these texts are, as it were, against every oath that man could swear in this world, because then the scriptures would contradict themselves, and that is an impossibility. But James here and the Lord Jesus, they are speaking about and against the light use of the oath. That is, to use the oath within our everyday language when we are speaking to one another. That we are using the oath in an unnecessary way. That we use it very lightly. That we use the oath in a very vain way. Or that we are deceitful in swearing an oath. It is not necessary, boys and girls, if you are known by your friends to be a person who tells the truth, then it is not necessary to bring with your words, with your statements, things that will add more force to what you are saying. No, but if you are known to be a person who does not lie, then it is enough that you say yes and no. And that is now what the Lord Jesus is also saying here, that our communication, and that is not every day that we need to draw forth the name of God upon our statements, but that we ought to be men and women of truth, and that we should say yes and no in truth. It is very clear from the Scriptures that there are times when an oath is necessary and when an oath is lawful in a country and also before the Lord. When our fathers say, either when the magistrates demanded of the subjects or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. Thus, sometimes the magistrate is demanding that we should swear an oath. That is, at times in our life when something very, very important is taking place. When a man, for example, is brought into an office above others, and then he is demanded to swear an oath before God, because that office has a very, very great importance attached to it. When we have become a citizen of this country a number of years ago, then we were also required to swear an oath. That has been done also by everyone who has been united in that bond of a holy matrimony, sometimes a judge. When we appear also in court, then a judge will demand of us that we are swearing an oath before the all-knowing God. That is necessary. And why is that so necessary? Because we are liars. And therefore we have brought that necessity upon ourselves. The Lord Jesus, when that oath was placed before him and when he had that whole time been so silent as a sheep before her shearers, when that oath was brought before him and he was adjured before God to speak, then we read that the Lord Jesus has also respected that oath before his Father, and that he has in this case given his answer. Our Father speak here also about the safety of others. We can read about Jehoiada in the Word of God, that before that he has shown that young King Joash to the captains of war, that he has first taken an oath of those men, an oath of allegiance unto this king. For such an oath is founded on God's word. Our fathers say that is not only actually in public, but that also has to do with private oaths. It was part of the civil laws that were given unto Israel, that they also at times should be swearing an oath. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. Thus the Lord has demanded, when there was a difference, when there was a quarrel, and when that truth could not be made evident by evidences and testimonies that were before the eyes of men, and that all strife between men, that should be put away with such an oath. Paul says that to the Hebrews. An oath for confirmation, he says, that is an end unto all strife. That is, congregation, not to be used first. No, but that is to be used last. For such an oath is founded on God's word, and therefore was used justly by the saints, both in the Old and New Testament. We know that Abraham desired and asked of the Lord a wife for his son Isaac. And then he has taken his servant Eliezer before him, and he has required of him also to swear unto him. We can read that that very son Isaac and Abimelech have sworn one to another. We read of Laban and Jacob when they made a covenant, and that Laban swore to Jacob by the God of Abraham and of Nahor and of their father, that he said, "He may judge between you and me." Rahab would not let the spies go until they had assured her of her own safety by way of an oath. Is that something then that has passed away with the passing away of the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament? Then the Anabaptists would say yes, but it is not so, because it has to do not with the ceremonial and the civil laws, but it has to do with the moral law of God. And we read that also at times, even in the New Testament. Paul wrote letters to the churches, and Paul says that there shall come wolves, and that there also were wolves, and that had come in a sheep's clothing in the midst of the congregations, even in the absence of the Apostle Paul. And then Paul has a number of times, even in his epistles, called upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord would be a witness unto his words. Then he would say such as, "God is my witness." That he would say, "I say the truth in Christ and lie not." That he would say that he called on God to bear record of his testimony. Thus Paul has used the oath. When there may have been a question in the minds of the people between who now is telling the truth, the Apostle Paul or those who had come against him, the Lord Jesus himself, he has often confirmed his own doctrine by those words in the form of that oath which said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," that is, "Truly, truly, amen, amen." And thus, in this way, he is calling his own Father to witness to his words, thus, both in a private way and in a public way. Sometimes an oath is necessary and is required, but it may not be used lightly, and it also must be sworn in a proper way. We see that in our second thought. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? No, for a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Thus our fathers, they address the manner, they say how, that we ought to be swearing such an oath when it becomes necessary or required of us in this life. And what do they say? They speak about in whose name, and that oath always must be sworn, thus not in the name of any man, not in the name of any great man, not in the name even of any of God's true people, whether they are still alive or whether they have passed away. But he says, only in the name of God. Thou shalt fear, we read in Deuteronomy, then thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. Why is that? Swearing by the name of the true God is actually an acknowledgement of that God. It is a comfort to the righteous, and it is a terror to the liar, a terror to him that is not speaking the truth, to appeal to the all-knowing God, to appeal to him who is omniscient, to appeal to him who knows what is lying in our heart. That is actually the basis, that is the foundation of a lie detector test which men give in this world. Because such a test that is relying upon the speaking of the conscience of man, and that is detecting where there is a conflict between the conscience and the words. Thus, an atheist has this also, because he also has an innate knowledge that there is a God. We can read about the 2.5 tribes when they were on the other side of the Jordan, and that they have set up an altar unto the Lord. But when the rest of the tribes did see that they had set up this altar, then they thought that they were departing now from the Lord, and that they were going to set up a strange altar, and they have accused them of doing so. And when the 2.5 tribes had to give their answer, then we can read how that they have appealed unto the omniscience of the God of Israel, the Lord God of gods. The Lord God of gods, he knoweth. And Israel, he shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord. Save us not this day. Thus the 2.5 tribes, they are appealing twice over to say that that Lord God of gods, that all-knowing God, he knows what is laying in our heart. And he knows what our intentions are when we have set up this altar, that it is not to transgress and not to go away from him, but that it is that our children, and they would serve him forever. Thus, when we swear in the name of the true God, then we are appealing unto his omniscience. But when we swear in the name of that God, then we are also appealing unto his power. Because we are saying that this God has the ability also to make his own power known, that he is the living God, and that he is able to punish me if I am telling the truth. That is actually to call the curse of God upon myself if I am telling a lie. That is what we read that those 2.5 tribes did, that they said, save us not this day. They say, Lord, then cut us off. Lord, slay us if we are now lying. We can also read that of Ruth when she is speaking to Naomi, her mother-in-law, that she says, "The Lord do so to me, and more also if aught but death shall part thee and me." Thus, a calling of the curses of the Lord upon ourselves if we swear falsely, that is no light matter. That is why that oath that is sometimes called the oath of cursing. Thus to swear in the name of the true God, that is to appeal to his omniscience. To swear in the name of the true God, that is to appeal unto his power. To swear in the name of the true God, that is also to appeal unto his justice. That is to say, the Lord, he will judge in a right and in a just way, that he will not slay the innocent, but that he will judge him that is lying, whether it be now or whether it be later. Thus, what are we doing when we would swear in the name of anyone else beside that true God? Then we are attributing the attributes of God unto this other being. And that is now highly offensive unto a jealous God. When Herod did not give the Lord the honor, and we read that the Lord slew Herod in one moment. Who else has the power? Who else has the knowledge to execute a righteous and a just judgment upon the secrets that are lying in the hearts of a man, but the omniscient, the all-knowing God of heaven and earth? That is why the Lord Jesus had said to his disciples not to fear them which can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul, but that they should rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. By Isaiah, then the Lord has also admonished his own people that he who would bless himself in the earth should bless himself by the God of truth, and that he who swore in the earth should swear by that God of truth. When we swear an oath, congregation, then we ought to not attempt to use other names instead of the name of the Lord. That is, that we swear in the name of a higher power, that we swear in the name of the Great One, that we swear in the name of the ultimate force. No, there are many people in this world that will admit there is a higher power, and that say, yes, there is an ultimate force in this world, but that they do not want to acknowledge who that the true God is. And thus, when we swear, and then we ought to swear only in his name. And it ought to be clear then in whose name we are swearing. Mentioned Laban, and that he swore by the gods of Abraham and Nahor and their father. What gods were they? That was not the true God that the father of Abraham served, and his grandfather, they were idols. And there was a time also that Abraham himself did serve those same idols. And they were now the gods that Laban did swear by. And now Jacob, when he swore to his father-in-law Laban, then he does not agree with Laban, but he very evidently he comes forth to swear by the fear of Isaac his father. The Pharisees and the scribes have tried to make a difference between swearing by the temple or swearing by the gold that was upon the temple. And one, they said, a man remains guilty and the other he is not. Or to swear by the altar, or to swear by the gift that is upon the altar, they said, these are two different things, as if one is guiltless when he does not come so close to mention that name of the Lord. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says there is no difference, because the temple, that is the dwelling place of God, and when we swear by the temple or the gold of the temple or the altar or the gift that is upon it, then we swear in essence by the name of God himself. Sometimes men are sorry for that oath in which that they have sworn. We can read that Israel has sworn and that they would not give any of their daughters to wife to the sons of Benjamin. But later on, they were sorry, and then they had to make provision that tribe of Benjamin would not be destroyed from among the children of Israel. Must all oaths, congregation, be kept? No. There are some oaths that should never have been sworn. And thus to keep that oath would be just as sinful as the swearing of that oath even was in the first place. Herod also swore an oath. He swore an oath to the daughter of Herodias when she danced so pleasingly before him. And it was because that he was embarrassed in the sight of all the men that were with him, that he has carried forth and that sentence that was required of her from her mother. But therein he has brought upon himself a double guilt. What a blessing that it was that David was saved from carrying forth that oath that he had sworn against that house of Nabal. What a blessing it was that also Saul was kept by the people, and that they restrained him from slaying his own son, and that his own wickedness that began already in the swearing of the oath would not be carried forth by him to the murder of his innocent son. Thus the oath, congregation, that is not a light matter. And thus that oath must not be taken upon our lips in a light way, but it must be done with reverence, and it must be done with an impression of that true and that living God in whose name we swear. But let us sing first from Psalter 428. Stanzas 8 and 10. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. I've sworn an oath, which gladly I repeat, that I shall keep, as always I have striven, thy righteous judgments, holy and complete, when unto me thy helping grace is given. 8 and 10 of Psalter 428. There are oaths, congregation, that are sworn by the church. And there are also oaths that are sworn on behalf of the church. And because an oath is no light matter, therefore that oath that is also such an important thing in that life of faith, that oath in the first place is making man so accountable. But in the second place, that oath that is making the church of God so comfortable. And thus also within the church, then oaths have been sworn. And for every one of those oaths, you and I are accountable unto God. How many of us have stood here and have made confession and have sworn an oath thereby before God? And then we can go back and we can look from time to time to see what that was that we, in the name and before the face of God, have sworn in the midst of the congregation. That is, that we would continue steadfastly in the doctrines which are taught within the church. We have sworn that we would conduct ourselves without and beyond reproach. Then we have sworn that we would adorn our confession with good works. We have sworn that we would submit ourselves in case that we should become delinquent. These are oaths, serious oaths, that are laying on our account, that we have to give an answer to. How many of us have not sworn an oath as husband and wife? What have you sworn, husbands? To love your wife. What have you sworn, wives? To submit yourselves unto your husband. You have sworn to be faithful one to another. And we have sworn to assist one another. How many of us have not stood here before God and the congregation and sworn concerning our children, that we would bring them up in that fear and admonition of the Lord, that we would instruct them according to that aforesaid doctrine to the utmost of our power. Oh, how many of us also as consistory have not stood here and sworn an oath of office before the Lord. And congregation, oh, what do these oaths, how do these oaths lay upon us? We said an oath that is a serious matter. Is there any weight then in that oath that we have taken freely upon our own lips? Do the shortcomings drive us out to God? That we have a need to be washed, a need to be cleansed, a need to be forgiven? Do the oaths themselves spur us on because of the responsibility that lays upon us? It really is a wonder. And that the oath of man is not the only oath that is sworn within that church of God. And that oaths are not only being sworn by the church, but that oaths, they have also been sworn for the church, on behalf of the church. Our oaths, they are so full of shortcomings, and we can never fulfill them. But those oaths that have been sworn on behalf of the church, they cannot lie unfulfilled. They are unbreakable. And why are they unbreakable? Because they are sworn by a God who cannot lie. Listen to Paul. He says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that belongs not then to the entire outward church, but it is belonging to that true church of God. And it is concerning that church that the Lord of Sabaoth is swearing by himself, by his own name, because he says that he is not able to swear by a greater name. And now if the Lord is requiring the fulfillment of the oath of man, how much more will the Lord not require of himself that he would fulfill his oath? Moses understood it so well. And it was because Moses understood this so well and that Moses has used this as a pleading ground to plead for the sake of the children of Israel who had departed from the Lord and who had sinned against him. And that Moses pleaded with the Lord, that he said to him, what wilt thou now do unto thy great name? Naomi also understood this so well. And she has also used this, and that she may comfort her daughter-in-law. And then she said to her, the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And now as that greater Boaz, or he is not in rest until he has completed that which he has sworn unto his father. All together, and they have bound themselves in a solemn, in a holy oath. And that oath that has to do with that blessed church of God. Oh, that Son of God, he has promised unto his father by a holy oath that he would, even as Moses did, that he would stand in that breach that his children had made. And then that father himself has sworn concerning his son that thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, that is nothing less than a swearing that he shall forever and forever receive that sacrifice from the hands of his only begotten Son. And now on this congregation, the blessed safety And the blessed comfort of that church of God is resting. Despite all their sin, despite all their shortcomings, even in those oaths in which they have sworn before God and before His church, and which they are never able to keep, oh, then still they may have a resting place from their own side. They deserve forever and forever to be cast away from that face of Him unto whom they have sworn. And yet, it is impossible. Why? Because the Lord says, I have sworn, and I, He says, will not repent. Oh, what did the Lord say unto His own children by His servant Jeremiah? He says, they say, if a man would put away his wife, and she would go from him, and she would become another man's wife, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But then the Lord says to His people, and why does He say it to His people? Because of that oath that He has sworn. He says to His people, you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet He says, return unto Me. And not only does He call them again to return, but then He is drawing them. He is drawing them with the cords of His loving kindness, because He has loved them with an everlasting love from that never begun eternity. And therefore they are seen coming. And they are coming with weeping and with supplications. He is drawing that people. And so He is causing them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way in which that church congregation shall never tremble. Oh, the sovereign and blessed one-sided work of God that is truly our only hope. It is lying so firm. It is lying upon a rock. It is lying upon an oath that is sworn by a God that cannot lie. Oh, the salvation of that church of God that is so absolutely sure. But congregation, so is the condemnation of the wicked. Oh, how necessary to know for ourselves that we also are an object of that blessed love of the Lord. That we are also included in that oath of Him who says, have I said it, and shall I not do it? Have I spoken, and shall I not make it good? Or is there a desire that we may be so firmly grounded and founded upon the promise of that God? Oh, may we be given an impression in our life in a day of grace of the blessedness of that people, that we may seek Him, that we may find Him, that we may know that only comfort in life and in death. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and in earth, oh, Thou hast sworn. Lord, may it be concerning us also and our dear children. Oh, give us to seek Thee, Lord. Oh, we cannot do without Thee. How shall we live? How shall we die? How shall we go through this world? How shall we deal with and in this world? And how shall we receive the comfort for our soul? Lord, remember us. Oh, forgive us. Wash us and cleanse us. And wilt Thou instruct us in this Thy truth, that it may become for us also a pleading ground, that it may become for us also a comfort. And wilt Thou forgive all that was sinful this day, that we may acknowledge Thee for helping us, that we may be enabled to bring Thy word this day. Oh, help us once more this night. And wilt Thou bless that which has been spoken? Be with us in the week to come. Help each one in our place here below. Give meditation upon Thy word. Give a place in our inner chamber. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 422, stanzas 1 and 2. My mouth shall sing for aye, and Thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I Thy faithfulness record. I know how firm and sure Thy wondrous grace is founded, established in the skies by love that is unbounded. As Thy celestial throne shall never sway, no, never, so shall Thy truth endure forever and forever. Psalter 422, stanzas 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.